I don't need to tell you that it's Thanksgiving today. Do you feel like giving thanks? Maybe you don't. Maybe you're at one of those places in life where you just don't feel grateful. And the thought of giving thanks today is maybe not the first thing on your mind. In fact, it might feel a little bit hypocritical. You know, I wonder if there's anybody who didn't go to church this morning because of that very reason. The thought of singing about God's faithfulness and His goodness maybe felt phony, so they stayed home and had another cup of coffee. Even if you're not in that place today, chances are you've been there at some point. You just didn't feel like saying thanks to anyone, never mind God. If that's how you feel this morning, and even if it's not, I want to ask you a question. Maybe seems unrelated at first, but it's related. What stories have you been listening to lately? What stories have you been hearing? Stories are powerful. Stories shape our attitudes, and those attitudes shape our perspectives. We need good stories to give us hope and to keep us moving forward in life. So what stories fill your imagination? What was the last story you listened to? Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm all grown up. I don't listen to stories anymore. Those are things for kids. But before you tune out, let me ask you a few more questions. Do you follow the news? Following the news is a very adult thing to do. And guess what? It's made up entirely of stories. Stories about hurricanes named Irma and Jose. Stories about mass shootings in places where people go to play. Stories about powerful men calling each other names and threatening each other with nuclear missiles. Stories about politicians getting caught with their hands in the wrong places. No, yeah, and there's stories about hockey teams that win one night and lose the next night. Those are all stories that we listen to on a daily basis. And you know what? If they're the only stories that we listen to, we shouldn't be surprised if we're feeling a little cynical and angry, depressed, hopeless. We should not be surprised if we're not feeling thankful this Thanksgiving. Maybe you don't listen to the news that much, but your own story has taken a turn for the worse. I'm aware of people in our community and also in our church family who are going through difficult times. It could be disease and even death. There have been too many breakdowns and maybe not enough breakthroughs. There have been too much rain and not enough sunshine. And if that's you, your story's real and it can't be ignored. Personally, though, I have a hard time giving thanks when my hardships, the stories of my own hardships, fill my entire mental media screen. We all have one of those. Maybe your story is going just fine, but the story of a close friend or a family member is not very happy right now. If your stories, or if their stories, are all we think about, it's going to be a tough, long weekend. If we want to give thanks from the heart this Thanksgiving, we need stories that fill us with gratitude. And where do we find them? You know, our culture has an enormous industry that produces story after story after story. I'm always amazed at how many stories the movie industry puts out. You know, in 2014, the global movie industry grossed $34.6 billion. And some of the stories that get told in cinemas and on Netflix are based in actual facts, and they make us feel good. Others are pure fiction. Many, if not most of them, are designed to distract us from the things that are happening around us and fill us with good feelings about today and tomorrow and the future. But what about us as children of God? What about us as followers of Jesus Christ? Where do we turn for stories that give us hope? Stories that keep us moving forward in life and in death. One place that God's people have always turned has been to stories of God's faithfulness throughout the years. And a great example of that is Psalm 107. So if you have your Bible, find Psalm 107. We're going to be spending our time there this morning. Find Psalm 107 and keep your finger there. We'll be coming back to it throughout the service. The opening verses of Psalm 107 go like this. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. The opening line calls us to give thanks, but it doesn't tell us to give thanks because life is so good right now. Notice that it doesn't list all the blessings God's people were experiencing at the time. Instead, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And then the rest of the psalm goes on to tell the stories of four kinds of people. And we'll be reading those stories throughout our service. And the first story is about a lost drifter. And maybe you know somebody like that. Or maybe you were someone like that, a lost drifter. The next story is about the defiant rebel. Any defiant rebels here this morning? Then there's a story about a ruined derelict. And finally, there's a story of a fearless daredevil. And the one thing that all of these stories have in common is that after they hit bottom, God was able to rescue every last one of them. Not one of them was beyond His reach and redemption. God did it for them. He did it for you and me, and He can do it again. These are stories designed to inspire thanksgiving and hope. And after telling each story, the psalm calls us to give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and for the things that He does for us. And like I say, we'll be reading these stories throughout the service. And as we read them, I invite you to find your story in them. You know, if God has redeemed you and made you His child, you have a story to tell. A story of redemption, a story of how God gathered you into His family. And that story has the power to get you through your present circumstances and to give you a hope for tomorrow. God didn't bring you this far in order to let you go. Your story might not be about something, or I should say your story might be about something that God did for you in the recent past, or maybe in the distant past. Or your story might include something that God did for your family long before you were born. You know, when I think about my own story, I normally think about the day that I trusted Christ for forgiveness when I was 8 years old. Now, I can't honestly say that I was a lost drifter at the time. You know, there's that Andreas Tabert guy, that kid drifting through the streets of Abbotsford. No place to sleep, no place to call home. That's not my story. I can't say I was a defiant rebel either. I was actually a pretty compliant kid. Nor a derelict or a fearless daredevil. But you know, my story of redemption started long before I was born. It actually started sometime around the turn of the 20th century with my grandfather, or I should say my grandfather. His father was not a believer. And I'm told that he wasn't around for his family that much. He was a bit of a rebel or a daredevil or something. His interests lay elsewhere. In 1886, he was actually elected into the German parliament as a representative of the Labor Party. It makes him a socialist. When my grandfather was a young man, he started a career in tourism. And he got a position with the American Express Company. And in order to learn the English language, he went from Germany to London, England. And his first job was washing dishes in a British hotel somewhere. And while he was there, he found himself at the Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park. And there he heard a preacher from the Brethren Assemblies present the gospel in a way that he could understand. And he gave his life to Christ. Then he went back to Germany, and he joined an assembly. And eventually my father came along and was brought up in that assembly. And when my father came to Canada, he in turn brought his children up in the assemblies. Now, I'm not a Christian just because my grandfather and my father were Christians. I had to make my own decisions and experience God's redemptive work for myself. But my grandfather's conversion started a sequence of events that would eventually lead to my redemption and rescue from who knows what. Because of what happened more than 100 years ago, I haven't had to become a lost drifter or a defiant rebel. I haven't had to hit bottom as a derelict or a fearless daredevil. Instead, early in life, I came to know the love of the Heavenly Father. And my life has had meaning and purpose. I have eternal hope. A hope that a Category 5 hurricane can't destroy, nor a nuclear missile from North Korea. And my children have the same opportunity. And so it's from generation to generation. Like I said, if God has redeemed you and gathered you into his family, then you have a story to tell, a story of redemption. And that story, if you recall it, has the power to fill you with gratitude and give you hope. Your story might be about something that God did for you just recently, or maybe in the distant past, or maybe before you were born, something he did in your family. And so this Thanksgiving Sunday, as we sing and as we hear Scripture, I want you to recall God's goodness to you and to your family. As things come to mind, we have a way for you to express your gratitude this morning. So our resident artist, Kathy Nelson over here, along with her assistant, have created a popsicle stick quilt. You see it right here. In the center are the words, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." It's a beautiful work of art, isn't it? Around the words is an arrangement of popsicle sticks. And as we sing throughout the service this morning, I'm going to invite you to come forward and write your name, or your family name, whatever, on one of those sticks. And Dave and Kathy are going to be up here to help you out. And parents, we especially want you to come up with your kids. Help them write your family name down, or their own name, on a stick in recognition of God's faithfulness to them and their family. It would be cool to see the entire quilt filled up, and then later we'll display it somewhere out in the foyer or somewhere in the building. And then later today, whenever you're gathered around your Thanksgiving dinner, maybe take some time with your children to tell the stories of God's faithfulness to you and to your family. Maybe it's a story from way back when, how your grandparent became a believer or something like that. At this point, the music team, we're going to teach you a song that goes along with our theme, and it's called "After All These Years." You can just sit back and listen, and when you feel comfortable, you can sing along with us.
After the pride, after the fall, the hands of mercy opened wide. After the rain, after the flood, you set your promise in the sky. The God who was and is to come has been the same for me. After all these years, you've never given up. After all these years, you're constant with your love. It amazes me. Still running after us. After the cross, after the shame, no power of hell could ever take. Your perfect life, your gift of grace, that testifies beyond the grave, still testifies beyond the grave. After all these years, you've never given up. After all these years, you're constant with your love. It amazes me. After all you've done, it amazes me. You're still running after us. After all these years.
The first story that's told in Psalm 107 is the story of the lost drifter. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Have you ever been lost in a wilderness? These verses describe a person who was lost in a very literal wilderness. But we don't have to be lost in a literal wilderness to be lost drifters. We just have to be living life without purpose and direction. Maybe jumping from one place to the next, from one relationship to the next, from one activity to the next. And as we move from place to place, from person to person, we might accumulate a lot of wealth and experience a lot of pleasure, but our hearts are hungry and our souls are thirsty. You probably don't know the name Ralph Barton. He was a famous cartoonist in the 1920s. You've probably seen some of his works. He's the guy who drew, you know, the women with the straight black hair and all of the different pictures that you see in movies from the 1920s. He took his own life when he was 39. And before he did, he left a note on his pillow that read like this. I've had few difficulties, many friends, great success. I have gone from wife to wife, from house to house, visited great countries of the world. But I am fed up with inventing devices to fill up 24 hours of the day. He was a lost drifter in the wilderness of the world. Had he cried out to God, he would have been delivered from his wandering. The Lord would have led him to a place he could call home. And not only would he have gone on to live a life of purpose and meaning, he would have received the hope of eternal life. And maybe that's your story, or the story of someone in your family tree. You or someone in your lineage was a lost drifter. And in their lostness, they called out to God, and God rescued and redeemed their life. And if that's your story, then give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds, for he satisfies your thirst and fills you with hope and purpose. Now we're going to sing together as a congregation the first verse of that song that we just did together there after all these years. And this would be a great time for people to come up and just add their name to the quilt. In fact, I think we should just keep singing until we get some people coming up. Just kidding. So let's stand together and let's sing the first part of After All These Years.
After the pride, after the fall, the hands of mercy open wide. After the rain, after the flood, you set your promise in the sky. The God who was and is to come has been the same for me. After all these years, you've never given up. After all constant in your love. It amazes me, after all you've done, it amazes me, you're still running after us.
After all these years, you've never given up. After all these years, you're constant with your love. It amazes me, after all you've done, it amazes me, you're still running after us.
Verse 2, after the cross, after the shame, no power of hell could ever take your perfect life, your gift of grace that testifies beyond the grave, still testifies beyond the grave. After all these years, you've never given up. After all these years, you're constant with your love. It amazes me, after all you've done, it amazes me, you're still running after us. After all these years.
Just carry on signing your name. That's great to see so many people come up. And we'll continue with our readings through Psalm 107. Sarah's going to read the next story in Psalm 107.
Okay. The second story told in Psalm 107 is the story of the defiant rebel. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron.
Thanks, Sarah. The other night, when Kirsten was out creating this popsicle stick quilt with Kathy, I had nothing to do, so I watched a documentary on Friday night. It was about some of the most notorious prisons in Russia, all of them in Siberia. They make our prisons kind of look like hotels, even now. One of the prisoners was asked if he ever thought of escaping. His answer was, that's impossible. He didn't even think about it. He was in such tight security. And once again, these verses that Sarah read paint a picture of a person locked in a very real prison. And this person somehow broke the law, maybe God's laws for living, and found themselves suffering the consequences in iron chains and with bitter labor. But once again, we don't have to be locked in chains to be prisoners. And we don't have to be in a concentration camp somewhere in Siberia to experience bitter labor. A person can be the richest person on earth and be the prisoner of their own destructive thought patterns, their own habits, and their own addictions. And if you know the story of Howard Hughes, you know that it's true. These verses that we read are a perfect metaphor for the thought patterns and the sexual habits and the dependencies that we develop when we defy God's way of living and insist on living life our own way. And the reason we develop those patterns and habits and dependencies because they're so enticing at first. They promise the easy life, but in the end, what do they deliver? The hard life. Jim Carrey, famous actor, said, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see that it's not the answer." So what is the answer? The people that the psalm writer had in mind found their answer by crying out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress, broke them out of darkness, and broke away their chains. Old thought patterns were replaced by new thought patterns. New habits took the place of old habits, new habits that were holy and healthy, and addictions were broken. Are any of those a part of your story? Is there a story like that somewhere in your family history? Then give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds to you. And the reason you may be here today is because God broke down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. So let's stand again, and we're going to sing that song again. We sang both verses last time, so we might as well sing the whole thing this time.
It's a new song.
It's a new song, so we'll sing it all through again after all these years.
After the pride, after the fall, the hands of mercy opened wide. After the rain, after the flood, you set your promise in the sky. The God who was and is to come has been the same for me. After all these years, you've never given up. After all these years, you're constant with your love. It amazes me. After all you've done, it amazes me. You're still running after us. After the cross, after the shame, no power of hell could ever take your gift of life, your gift of grace that testifies beyond the grave, still testifies beyond the grave. After all these years, you've never given up. After all these years, you're constant with your love. It amazes me. After all you've done, it amazes me. You're still running after us. It amazes me. After all you've done, it amazes me. After all these years.
Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. These verses describe what I call the desperate derelict. A person whose choices didn't just make them prisoners of their thought patterns and habits and addictions, but a person who ended up ruined physically and emotionally. Their lifestyle, if you want, you can sit. I'm sorry for not mentioning that earlier. their lifestyle ravaged their minds and their bodies and left them on death's door. Not too long ago, I met with a guy who, or he told me a story about how he landed in the hospital, and after saving his life by flushing his system out of all the toxins that were in it, the doctor handed him a mirror and said, "Take a look at yourself. Where do you think your life is headed?" After seeing his face and all the tubes going in and out of him, that person cried out to the Lord, and in his trouble, he was saved. Through some people who took him in, God's word came to him and healed him, and he was literally rescued from the grave. So have you been rescued from the grave? Or maybe somebody in your own parents' family, or maybe your grandparents were rescued from the grave, and as a result, you were given the opportunity to experience not just life, a good life now here in Westlock or wherever it is, but you were given the opportunity to experience the hope of eternal life. If that's your story, then stand with us again and sing about the Lord and His wonderful love and His deeds. We're going to sing that favorite old hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is Thy faithfulness.
Please be seated as Sarah reads the last story from Psalm 107.
The last story from Psalm 107 tells the story of the fearless daredevil. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders.
These verses make me think of John Newton. He is the guy who wrote the song Amazing Grace. Newton started his career as a sailor when he was 11 years old. What were you doing when you were 11 years old? When he was a teenager, he was forced to enlist in the British Navy. And when he rebelled against his captain, he was put in irons and flogged. He eventually convinced his superiors to let him join a slaver ship, one of the ships that hauled slaves from Africa. Later in life, as he looked back on that time in his own life, he described himself as arrogant and insubordinate. I sinned with a high hand, he wrote, and I made it my study to tempt and seduce others. But God had mercy on him and used harsh circumstances to deflate his arrogance. And first he was transferred to a ship where he was treated like dirt. He ended up begging for food. In 1747, he was transferred to another ship that was overtaken by a severe storm on one of its journeys. And during that storm, he began to recall things that he had heard and read, including scripture verses, the Word of God. And during that time, during that storm, he called out to God. And God brought him out of his distress. Now, I don't know if the storm, if the ocean went like glass immediately, I don't know about that. But the storm in John Newton's life was calmed. Eventually, he even became a pastor. He wrote hundreds of hymns that we sing. And he also helped William Wilberforce bring an end to slavery in the British Empire. Now, you don't have to be a sailor to be a fearless daredevil. All you have to be is someone who thinks you're invincible. Someone who insists on being the master of your own fate, the captain of your own soul. If God had mercy on you, he deflated your arrogance and brought you to a place of brokenness where you cried out to him. And then he was able to calm the storm in your life and bring you to a haven of rest. If that's your story, give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. Exalt him in the assembly of the people. And let's do that by singing Blessed Assurance. We're going to stand together, and if you still want to sign the quilt, feel free to do so. This is my story. This is my song.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story,
this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read the final verses of Psalm 107. He turns rivers into desert, flowing springs into thirsty grounds, and fruitful land into salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert back into pools of water, and the parched ground into flowing springs. And there he brought the hungry to live, and they found a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased. And he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Sometimes we wonder why God lets bad things happen. Why does a hurricane ravage a tiny Caribbean islands? Why does a shooter, or why is he allowed to kill more than 50 people in Vegas? Why did that young woman get sick and die before her time? Why didn't we get all our crops off last year? Those are tough questions, and I'm not pretending to know the answer and to give the answer. But these verses tell us that through them, God uses them not to punish us so much as to get our attention and to bring us back to a place where we cry out to Him so that He can show us His mercy and give us something to be thankful for. You know, life is fleeting. And I believe the main purpose of your life and my life on this earth is to establish a relationship with our Creator and our Heavenly Father so that we can be a part of His eternal kingdom. If nothing else, the hardships that enter our stories remind us of that, and they get us looking for that something or that someone that has more lasting significance and is eternally more fulfilling. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. You're looking for that something or that someone that's more lasting and more fulfilling than anything this life can give you, because everything this life can give you is going to be taken away. That someone is your Creator, your Heavenly Father, and He's waiting for you to do what the people in Psalm 107 did, to cry out to Him. And through Jesus Christ, He demonstrated His love for you. Through Christ's death on the cross, He paid the price. He paid the penalty for your sin. He paid the price to wipe out your guilt. You have nothing to be ashamed of once you receive that forgiveness. Now, there's nothing but your choice to trust Jesus that separates you from the deliverance that He can bring into your life. John chapter 1 says, to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And when you are a child of God, you are an heir of eternity. So let's stand one more time and sing that chorus. This is my story. This is my song.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Father, we're filled with gratitude this morning for your wonderful acts in our lives, in the lives of our family, in the lives of our parents and grandparents. And Father, we want to thank you from the depths of our heart this morning, and we want to commit our lives to you right now, our stories. Some of us are going through difficult times. It's a difficult chapter in our story. And we just want to give that to you and ask you to redeem what we give and turn it into something beautiful so that next year or maybe 10 years down the road, we can look back and say, God was good. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, and we pray for our children too, that they would experience your grace and your goodness in their lives so that they too could look back someday and say, wow, God is good. So Lord, we thank you for these stories of remembrance. We thank you for what you've done in our lives and pray that you continue to work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our service is over. You can still come up and sign the quilt. I think there's still some white spaces there. And just have a happy Thanksgiving.
Redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the